Good morning. It is a Wednesday morning. We're with our political observer, Alan Chartalk. After 3 weeks of testimony, Alan, the trial of former police officer Derek Chauvin, charged with killing George Floyd, ended swiftly. It took barely more than a day of jury deliberations, then just minutes for the verdicts to be read. Guilty, guilty, and guilty. And Chauvin was handcuffed and taken away to prison. Quite a sight. The murder and manslaughter convictions came in an explosive case that triggered worldwide protests, violence, and a furious reexamination of racism and policing. The relief was visible and palpable as people rejoiced after the verdict. President Joe Biden weighing in, saying the conviction can be a giant step forward for the nation in the fight against systemic racism. He said it's not enough. We can't stop here. The question is, going forward, what happens? It's one case, but a very symbolic case. What are your thoughts on that verdict yesterday, Alan?
Well, first of all, let's go to Joe Biden. He is committed, quite correctly, to reform. He made it clear that this officer had to face accountability. The state and the county and everybody else threw everything into this trial that they possibly could, and they got a verdict, which was very unusual. Usually, cops are not found guilty of this kind of action. Partially, it was because of the luck and the acuity of a young woman standing there taking a picture of the whole thing. Think about it, David. When the first reports came out, he was basically exonerated for what he was doing. However, when the police chief allegedly saw the actual video and it really began to become plain what had happened, things had changed. So that one teenager goes down in the history books as being incredibly important because she saw fit to take a picture of what was happening. And there were other people all around who were yelling at the cops, get off of him, and yet he tried to blame them. He said, I kept doing it because I was threatened by the crowd. Well, that was nonsense, of course. And in this case, justice is done. Now, the name of the game is to make sure that this one case sends a signal to police officers that it is not justified to kill somebody. You have the President of the United States, you have the Vice President of the United States, they are saying their thing, and they're making it clear that the way we were doing it up until now is unacceptable and that they want change. And we can see change all around us. We can see it in my little town of Great Barrington, where the attitude of the police force now is really excellent. So it's a good day, but it's not the end day. It's just the beginning.
So true, as all eyes turn to the Senate, Alan. The George Floyd Justice in Policing Act. It's already sitting in the Senate. Democrats say it would end racial and religious profiling, ban chokeholds on suspects, eliminate no-knock warrants on drug cases, make it easier to prosecute offending police officers, and would overhaul police training to build trust with the communities in which officers serve. So will we move forward with legislation?
We may. They may make changes in the legislation itself. But I can tell you this, the fact that they're doing this is very, very important. And let everybody understand, there are going to be tweaks in all of this. Let's face it, there has been some terrible actions committed on police officers. You know, sitting in a car, drinking coffee, have somebody come in and shoot a revolver into their heads. This is not the same thing. This, of course, needs to be dealt with also. So let there be no question that the fury that was out there over this George Floyd murder, and that's what it is now, murder, and we have to see whether or not there is a difference in perspective. You know, David, you named some of the reforms, but the greatest reform of all, I think, would be paying attention to who you put on your police force, to making sure that there's diversity on the force, but also making sure that the people you're putting on are psychologically and mentally fit for the duty.
One of the places the president's getting criticism is his reversal on refugees, Alan. An early promise broken, says the New York Times. An easy campaign pledge to roll back former President Trump's limits on refugee entries has become a test of President Biden's priorities. This has been a tough one.
This is the tough one, David, for this president. If he lets unlimited numbers of people come in, he's going to receive a certain amount of blame from the people who want to have some restrictions. On the other hand, he has to do better than we've been doing, and he will. I think what's going to happen is there will be a reform, but it will be such that people can get into the country following the old rules of how you do it, how you get citizenship. That's where the change has to happen. Trump was clear he didn't want people in this country, and it was cruel, it was inhumane, and it needs to be changed.
and change policies when it comes to climate change. EU reaches major climate deal ahead of Biden climate summit. The deal is intended to make the 27-nation bloc climate neutral by 2050. EU member states and lawmakers agreed on the new carbon emissions targets on the eve of the virtual summit today, hosted by U.S. President Joe Biden. Under the provisional deal reached, the EU will also commit itself to an intermediate target of cutting greenhouse gas emissions by at least 55% by 2030. Meanwhile, from the AP, Biden to pledge halving greenhouse gases by 2030. We mentioned this summit. Here it is today, and one of the, if not the most important issues of our time.
You're so right. You know, David, we're sitting on the precipice right now. I said yesterday, and I mean it, we have landed on Mars. We have a helicopter that can fly around and show us what this world could look like if we're not careful. And we know that this is probably the most important thing we could be doing now. When you say 2030, well, that's doable. When you say 2050, that's a long way off. And, you know, we have to examine the technology. We have to know whether electric cars will really do it. Now, remember, even with electric cars, which, of course, portend a major change in gasoline consumption and fumes, even with that, we're not sure because you have to get the power from somewhere. So you have to have electric plants, which will allow us to drive electric cars. Whether or not that's the answer, we'll find out. All I know is 2050 is a long way off.
A political observer, Alan Shartok with us.